remember, this is Veterans Day weekend. Remember the veterans that didn't come back. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, who seconded? Who seconded? Thank you.
Say that the work on the east side is going to be easier to work on?
Much easier. Much
easier, much faster. There's less to contend with. There's no existing mains to contend with. Right. Everything's on back lots. Right. So the trenching will be a lot quicker. The dirt's a little softer over there. So there's multiple factors. But yeah, it's a much easier portion of the project.
Every time I drive through the complex, I see more hydrants. Are they? How many have you installed so far? Are they all functional?
Everything on the west side of the ranch is functional. Exact count over there, I couldn't tell you, but somewhere in the 50 range, 50-ish, 55.
51, I think it is.
51. And yeah, everyone is working.
And we didn't dispose of any of the older ones. All the ones that were in place before the project started are still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't
many.
Yeah, right off of them.
Until the old main is completely gone, those plans to stay in place.
Got it. Well, our compliments. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Brad, do you want to add anything?
No, I think covered it.
Thanks, Pastor.
Good answer. Yeah, you're doing a really good job with the paving.
Yeah, it's one of the only pieces of what we do that you can actually see. we're taking our time and trying to do a good job. I mean, as you guys know, some of the roads are not in great condition. So paving back against it creates a little bit of a issue sometimes. So we're trying to go slow and make things as nice as possible.
Yeah. Well, it's making the rest of the roads look terrible.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's what it does.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the county will. Where's your recorder? I'm sure the county will pay.
Oh, no, it's right there.
Yeah. I'll be here starting over.
They're waiting for Mozingo to finish.
Actually, that's a holiday. Well, they won't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Okay, any other comments or questions about the project from the superintendent? We appreciate you coming in this morning, truly
no
do.
Problem.
And you're going to be with us for a couple hours this afternoon.
Yeah.
We appreciate that as well. That falls under the category of, in your contract, of other duties as assigned.
No problem at all, Brad.
All right.
I want to add just a little more to the pump station. The power has been brought, PG&E brought power out to the pump station. It's hooked up. Meter, I don't know if it got installed. It was supposed to be put in yesterday. So that's all done, too. That was kind of a project because they had to bring an extra wire from Meadow to all the way up Cypress Point over to our pump station. But that's in now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Can I ask a question? It's to Mark. Did you guys get a change order for the A1A? Did it ever go through?
As far as I know, it did.
Okay. Yeah. I never saw any paperwork. So.
I asked John about that this morning.
All right, I'll ask him.
And he says it's been approved and everything by USDA. And he,
okay. No, as long as that's all.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything, so.
I remember your question. That's why I asked him.
All right. Thank you.
Any other comments on the board? Thank you. Item 2A. Or item 2B, share with Mr. Schneider.
I'm Mr. Schneider.
Yeah.
I needed a little picture of him. So. Okay, so I get to do the LRPC update. And I think it's in your packet. I have a big one because I can't see my iPad. So we're reviewing the USD allocated budget versus the estimated cost. At this time, you know, as you know, the loan was for $12.226 million. For the MC engineering contract, we're at $1.868 million, and then we received Amendment 6 to add an additional $235,000. We're still reviewing that, Dave and Tom and I. So we've gone back to MC to ask them about some of the questions they have. They're adding about 6 months to the schedule and some just additional work. With Mozingo, we are at $8.598 million. And that includes the new scope of A1A. which, and right now their change orders to date are at 2.1%, which I think is really good. So I'm just going to not go through every line here because I think I'll bore everybody to death. And now our cost to date for Blue Lake Springs, including what we plan to spend this fall and then next year, at the end of the project, we should be at $573,000. On the future amendments for 2019, this is on the upper right-hand side. This is from, I think this is for MC Engineering. They have about $15,000 for A1C, A6, and B1. And then if we do the other scope, A1B, B4, and B6, we would add another $10,000. And then the schedule extensions. So it would be an additional $210,000, I believe, except some of that's already included in Amendment 6. So, and then for Mazingo, we have outlined future change orders. New scope change orders, A1C, A6, and B1. And I think A6 is the sampling
station. It's the sample station
that we're going to talk about later.
Yep.
And that's about, well, I'm rounding, it's $216,000. And then for 2020, we have slated another $157,000, basically another $210,000 for additional paving and the additional work if we think we have the funds to do it, to do the work. And then back at the bottom, estimated through June 2020, our estimated interim loan interest payments will be $395,000. So with our total cost at this time with the schedule extension and A1A, we're at $11.6 million. And with new scope items, we'd end up at $12.077 million, which is $149,000 under our allocated budget. So
Sharon, to clarify, the future amendments and future change orders mm-hmm. are in the 11.6?
I believe they are.
Yes.
Yes, I believe they are.
Okay.
No, they're in they're in the 12.077.
Okay.
The 11.6 is what we will be doing because we just approved A1A. That's the one Mark's going to start next week or the week after on Blue Lake Springs. And the schedule extension.
Which would be the $185,000?
Yeah. For MC Engineering. We're still negotiating with them on that one. But these are just kind of round numbers.
That seems excessive for where we are in the, 75% of the project's done.
But we're adding, the A1A is $365,000. And it's only about $30,000 for MC Engineering. It's a very complicated project, and that's what we've approved. So the $11.6 million is basically what we've approved. So we'd be $600,000. If we stopped now, we would be at $600,000 under our allocated budget. If we do the other projects on the side, we would end up at $149,000. Now, that's how I read this. Tom may have a different interpretation.
Well, the math works.
Yeah. So I think our plan was we were going to see how the fall goes, how A1A goes, to see where we were at and what future projects we wanted to fund.
Well, I guess, the math doesn't work. So
math
if there's...
It doesn't necessarily work.
No.
But some of the, the 185...
So that's 200, or it's 643,000, these two combined, on top of the 11.6.
It comes up to 12.2.
But the 185,000 is already included in the 11.6. It's kind of mixing apples and oranges. So that's why I was sitting here playing with the math. So the A1A and schedule extension is for both firms. So,
are we all squared on the numbers now?
We have more slides.
Okay.
I have more chance to confuse you. All right. The last change order we saw, and this is what Tom and I saw, was change order 10, and that's just to do some we had some failures last winter due to all the rains and snows, so they had to do some trench work and relocating a water main. They put in a replacement valve at Lindip with Lake Springs. That work's been done, and then we had a customer request to do a joint trench. So that's actually been approved. So if you go to the next slide, it's the MC Engineering Amendment 6 status update. We received the scope, their proposal on October 25th.
So I'm back to the change order. I have just a quick question.
Sure.
The first item was due to the rains last year. Why did it take 8-10 months to get onto the change order? Does it just seem like a long time?
You know, I think they, do you know, Mark, I'm sorry to jump that on you. Why did it take us 8 months to approve a change order for winter trench failure? Do you know?
I do not have the answer to that.
I think the work was done, but we had to go back and justify, document what was done.
We did the work,
right,
and got it finished to make things safe.
Right.
You know, we had a huge, huge rainstorm, and there was two trench failures, one on Lower Moran and one on Linda, where everything kind of washed the ditch out, so we just came up and did the work. And make things right, but as far as why it took so long, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I think there were other things, there were other change orders that were, and it seems we were negotiating, so that one we knew had to go, or I mean, we knew we had time to sit within it. That's a good question.
Is there anything else out there that we don't know about?
I don't think so at this time. I think we're all caught up, except for
it just took longer. I mean, there was some back and forth about it.
It takes a while
between us and Mazingo, but and so maybe that's why it kind of got left behind a little bit, maybe. That's all the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
I think when I looked at pending things, the only thing out there were the items I'm going to talk about down below, and they're all on the new scope. Because we got proposals for some of them, but we just haven't approved them. So, okay, so for MC Engineering, they have this, I don't know how to describe this. So the proposal was, I have no words to describe it.
You're an engineer.
I have no brain cells to interpret it.
Now the proposal, it was apples and oranges again. So we went back and we asked some questions. So if you look up the first column, it has the new scope items and then the MC Engineering. These are basically what they're asking for. There's the common trench for A1A, what they did in Amendment 6, if you go down, halfway down the page, you'll see Amendment 6 proposal. They gave us for the new scope task total $50,000, and they didn't scope it by the task, by like A1A cost this much, the sampling station cost this much, they just gave us a lump sum. So we went back and said we'd like to see what the breakdown is for A1A, because if we don't do A1B, we don't want to fund that, you know. So we've gone back and asked that question. And then they added 6 months schedule extension at $184,000, approximately $31,000 a month. So we're currently in fact-finding with that. They've spent $27,000 to date through September, and that's to do all the surveying for all the A1 A, B, and C projects, and working with Mazingo to get the quotes. So, and we had authorized $25,000, so it's all fine. So, he's written below, we requested quotes by individual tasks in case we decide not to proceed on all tasks. We also asked justification for John Pedry and the inspector hours during the 6 month schedule extension. And one of our concerns was if we have a bad winter, well, maybe it's a good winter, but if Mazingo shuts down for January and February and March, we would expect the inspector and the engineer's hours to decrease. If Mazingo's not out there working, we don't need to fund people full time, or part time or whatever. We would still be processing progress payments and various things, but we wouldn't anticipate the high, not the high. I would expect minimal costs for those months. So, and we also thought that they had existing money in their budget through this year that could carry them into next year. So we've asked some questions and we're waiting for answers. So
quick question on that page. So the first group, that's the phase one, and those numbers, 48,196, did they replace the ones below the 50 and the 184? Is the top one a breakdown?
Yes, the top one is a breakdown. So what had happened was we got a while back, in September 23rd, we got an estimate for all these projects that Mazingo, we were looking at funding,
right,
okay?
Right.
And Tom had put in costs for MCE, and that's where we get the $48,000. But then on our amendment, I'm not answering your question. They just don't quite match. And then the $184,000 is just for the engineer and the inspector to do 6 months of work.
Okay.
So that has not been funded at all. That's what Amendment 6 is about. It's about funding MCE to oversee the work for A1A, all these phase one new scope projects, and then 6 months of
okay, I get it. So they came back and gave you a revised it and went from 48,000 to 50, but it also
right.
went down from 196 to 184.
Right.
Okay.
That's good. That's
so that 6 month schedule extension is for what period of time, from when to when?
So the original contract, the construction contract, ended January 12th or January 20th of 2020. Is that sound right?
Yes.
And due to the great winter we had last year, there were many days added on to the contract. I think it's been, I forgot my list, 40?
40 some odd days.
40 some odd days. And you have to realize that the weekends don't count. So it pushes it out. Right now, substantially complete is in April, I believe. With final completion is in May. Once we add A1A, we add a few more days on. And if we do the sample stations, we add a few more days. So the idea is that, and MC felt that their contract, they had funding in their contract through December or through January 12th or whatever it is. So they're looking for basically through July. But,
so if we had a 40-day period where work stopped because of weather and snow conditions,
mm-hmm.
I would think that 40 days would just move forward to the end of the contract. So from a financial standpoint, there shouldn't be, a $50,000 ask for additional.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So that's why one of the questions
they're trying to double dip.
So one of the questions we asked in Amendment 6 they had in their proposal was there was different days for completion, for substantially complete final completion, and where their stuff ended. And we're like, we want to know exactly what you're scoping in this amendment. Because, if everything finishes, God willing, like May 31st, and they could be done June 30th, we don't want to send them through August or whatever. But and they said, they're...
Well, and I don't want to double fund them for time that they didn't put in
right.
the 40 days this year.
Right. And they've already billed for some of that because they were doing, it's a long story.
Well, the question is, does the weather-caused extension, that's what we're talking
right.
about, does that apply to the engineers? No, that I would assume would be in their contract.
It's probably in their contract that they get more time. Yeah. I can look. I will look at that.
Yeah. Andrew, would you step in on that?
Yes.
Check that off as well.
I think the way their contract reads with time and material, if there's any extension on construction, they get their equal extension.
Well, so. If they get an extension, we're not paying the contractor when they're not working. Do we pay the engineers when they're not working?
Well, we had that question back in the spring because we were getting high
yeah.
invoices and there was no work being done by Mazingo.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't your invoices, it was theirs. So that's what we've gone back and said. We think you have enough money to get through January, February, because you shouldn't have been.
Well, the engineer's contract is a little different than the...
than the construction.
In the contractor's contract.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, there's a logic issue here.
Yes.
40 days of no work would imply that there's no, that there's 40 days of no inspections, no, you know, 40 days of no. You know, John Pedry sticking his head in the ditch.
Right. And that is what we've asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's one of the questions.
So $50,000 ask seems excessive in my mind.
Yeah.
Well,
considerably so.
I agree on that.
It's more like the $184,000 for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get an answer to that.
Yeah. Okay, are we done? Debate.
So if I understand, I'll interface with Sharon after the meeting to talk a little bit about that issue.
Sure.
I'll take a look at the MC engineering contract.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, logic says it's there, but this may not be a matter of logic.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with the agreement, but
yeah.
like you say, logically it should be an agreement.
Right, yeah. And I can probably pull it up after
okay. The
meeting, so.
Okay. On that, by the way, we want to conclude by 11 o'clock this morning.
All right. So at this point, Mazingo is on the next page. Including the retainage, Mazingo is 82% spent. I'm just going to go to the bottom line under Mazingo. Total potential new scope is the $798,000, and that includes the A1A that we've already approved. Let's see. MC Engineering, I don't even know what to, I think we've said enough about MC Engineering, personally.
I agree.
All right, and then CoBank, that's more interesting. So far to date, our loan amount is up to $5.8 million, and actual interest to date, we paid $99,744, and we have estimated remaining interest for the year $65,000. And then for January through June, we're estimating $230,000. So that should be good. All right, next is what everyone's waiting for, the rate structure. This is what we went over last one. So at the October 5th meeting, Tom presented a new rate structure recommendation from the LRPC, and Tom also spoke with Andrew.
Yep.
Do you want to say anything more about that call or no?
We had a brief call. I read through his presentation. I could say I'm very impressed by what the LRPC has done. I haven't seen this sort of work done in-house before, so I wasn't sure what to expect. But I knew that Tom was qualified to do it as well as the LRPC. I knew that a lot of work had been done, but I was very impressed with the result of it. I gave Tom a couple of comments. None of them were recommendations for changes, but more issues just to flag. So I'll make a couple of comments as Sharon goes through the presentation. But they're not things to look for in making changes to the proposal that's before you, but issues to flag for further consideration. Because I think that what you'll see is the rates are something that you'll need to keep taking a look at over time. The big work has been done, and so this item will come up again in the future, but it will be a much lesser lift for the LRPC and for the board going further. It's more a question of adjusting things and making sure that they fit the current circumstances. So bottom line, I talked with Tom, very happy with the work that had been done. I helped prepare a resolution that you'll consider today that meets all the various legal requirements, but I'm happy with the product, and you should be very proud of the work that the LRPC has done.
Okay, so the summary of the proposed rate structure. The overall rate structure approach being recommended is for cost-based rates to the extent practical. That it meets our revenue requirements to fund all costs, including debt service payments, capital improvements, and reserves, that we're stable and predictable and as fair as equitable as possible to all shareholders, and designed to cover fixed costs and from fixed charges revenues and variable costs from volumetric rates, so meter revenues. So our fixed costs are the expenses the system has every month, even if you don't pump, treat, or sell a single drop of water. And the variable costs are expenses that change from month to month, depending on how much water you pump, treat, and sell. So based on our 2018 and 19 operational expenses, we estimate the 2020 cost to be 97% fixed and 3% variable. All right, the next page. If I'm reading too fast, just say something, because I, anyway. The base rate structure. For 2020, the recommended base rate structure is not changed, with the exception of now including the USDA loan repayment as part of the base rate. Like 2019 and previous years, it is a fixed base charge designed to cover the majority of fixed costs and includes the consumption allowance. It's recommended that the base rate consumption allowance remain at 350 cubic feet per month. The USDA loan repayment portion of the base rate was calculated to meet the total annual revenue requirement of $437,000. It was determined that since combined lots and membership lots will never be supplied water, there is no benefit to them resulting from the USDA project and will not be charged for the loan. The 2020 home lot base rate revenue required to meet our estimated annual fixed cost is $1.125 million. The fairest approach being recommended for all shareholders is to charge a combined home lot base rate and USDA loan rate total whose 2020 percentage increase is as close as possible to the shareholders' home lot rate from 2019. So also included in the base rate fixed charges is to provide the system capacity and maintenance of our fire protection services. Fire protection refers to the hydrants and storage that provide a community-wide benefit. I'm not going to read the rest. So the metered volumetric rate structure.
So you guys again?
I bored them. No.
It only gets better, guys.
I know. All right. So as mentioned, the base rate includes a consumption allowance of 350 cubic feet per month. Which is unchanged from previous years. We're also keeping the original $1.60 per 100 cubic feet that we've had in the original years. It was determined by the LRPC to keep the volumetric rate structure at a single block tier, a block rate or one tier, as opposed to increasing block rate, based on the challenges in quantifying our cost to whatever tier levels and rates per tier are selected. We also, although our usage study data estimates that a large majority of shareholders are staying within the 350 cubic feet month base allotment and only consuming one-third of the water, the LRPC recommends staying with the same allotment threshold and consumptive rate level for 2020 until the remaining meters are installed and connected. Right now, there's 1,342 meters in the ground. They're not all hooked up, but they're in the ground, and we only have, I think, like 380 left to go next year, so.
Need to take one off.
Yeah. We're looking into that. Andy, we're looking into that.
You never got installed.
And Sharon, would it be okay to jump in on
that? Sure.
So this is the point that I brought up with Tom, where I said this is one where the board will want to stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. They want to come back to it next year, because essentially what Tom's saying here and what the LRPC are saying is that most of your users are going to fall under that 350 CF, which is a good thing. But essentially what that means is, because that's part of their base rate, you have a lot of low water users who are going to pay a little bit more, and you have a few high water users who are going to pay a little bit less as a result of this base charge. So one thing that you may want to do, sorry.
I've seen pictures of this.
One thing you may want to do over time as you get fully metered is make sure that you're striking the right balance between the two, and realize that perhaps you can shift that base allotment lower, or perhaps in time you can eliminate it. You just need more data to be able to find the right balance of where that should fall. And I don't think you have that data yet. So it makes good sense to keep going with what you have right now, and then study this further once you get good meter data for a year, 2 years, and so on, and figure out, is it 350 CF, is it 200, is it lower? Because I think the data that you have right now suggests that a lot of your users, in fact a majority, are using somewhere like 100 or 150 CF. And maybe you want to move it back down to there in order to strike a fairer balance between your low water users and your high water users.
Well, I have concerns with that philosophy, because that's a forward-looking statement. In other words, you're predicting what someone's going to do with a vacation home. So based on past behavior, they didn't use the cabin, all of a sudden they decide they're going to use it, they're going to be up to 300 or 400. So you don't know really what's going to happen.
We have pretty consistent data on water use.
But it's all based on past behavior.
It is based on past behavior.
Right. So we're not, I mean, we have to be ready for what, for something unexpected. I mean, we don't have a lot of sources of revenue here. I mean, what they pay us is all we have. We don't have a piggy bank. So, and we have to keep a certain amount in reserves and stuff like that.
If one thing that you need to distinguish between, though, is fixed and variable costs. The this portion of the rate is only going to your volumetric rates, the volumetric portion of the rate.
Right.
So this is
how much water.
It's the water. It's the pumping cost. It's the chemicals.
Right.
It's that small percentage of rates that vary.
3%.
So as you say, 3%. If people start using more water. If you've tuned your consumptive rate properly, you're going to get more money for it. You're going to have that cost covered if everything's been tuned properly.
Yeah.
If behavior changes and you have a very low water use time, again, your variable cost, if tuned properly, is going to go down accordingly. And you're not going to be left with holding the bag with uncovered costs.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Andrew, let me interject something here. You know, since you're, you know, new with this organization, you know, we have, at least during my 4-year tenure on the board, you know, put this under a microscope every year. The Long Range Planning Committee spends a lot of time, and Sharon will vouch and Dave will vouch, on looking at the rate structure and doing the best we can to, you know, make it fair for everyone involved. Now, absent meters, you know, it's been a, you know, more of a gross or a macro picture versus a micro picture. I think moving forward, to your point, you know, there is this issue of, you know, the vast majority of our shareholders using less than 350. But as you lower that, if you lower that 350, that moves X percent of people into that upper, where they would, you know, pay a graduated amount for, you know, water consumption. So I'm not so sure that it's not a wash, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're arguing about 3%. Mm-hmm. You know, and that 3% is not going to change significantly over, you know, in the future, as near as I can see. Not unless we change the, you know, our operations and, you know, end up with an ability to monitor and meter, you know, what water treatment above, you know, a certain threshold. So I think, you know, to your point, you know, rest assured that the Long Range Planning Committee is, you know, looking long and hard at this, you know, to keep it fair. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't put in a multi-tiered, you know, structure for the consumption rate, because, you know, we just can't dissect, you know, that 3% to a, you know, a level where we would be comfortable saying that, you know, that's legitimate.
So, and as stated, once we develop data with the meter readings, we'll have a better handle on what that base rate should be. But
bear in mind,
we're talking about 3%.
And I think, you know, by the end of 2020, we'll have all the meters in. I think by the end of 2021, we'll see how everyone reacts to the meters and how much they're paying. And they go, "Oh, I had no idea I was using, you know, this much water," or whatever. So, so the idea is that we're going to be looking at these quarterly to see how the readings are going. Did I interrupt you?
No, not at all. And all of these points are well taken. I agree with them. This is something that you'll look at going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Just a point, though, the 3% that you've identified as variable, that's 3% that's variable after that base allocation. You've included the base allocation in the fixed, what it costs to serve mm-hmm. that base allocation. You may find over time that 3% is actually higher once you start to take the base allocation out. But this is just a further study issue. I think that the way that these have been presented, I don't have a concern from a legal standpoint. It's really a fairness question that you are all, you know, that's what you're appointed to do. That's a question for you, not for me.
Yeah, but I agree with you. We don't want to unduly charge one customer more than the other, unfairly.
Just balance.
Right.
And we have exhaustively looked at that particular issue. And we have 3 or 4 years of water use. The final analysis, not much changes. And we have to keep in mind that we have a minimal use system where most systems are used by 98 or 99% of their population. Only here it's 12 to 14 tops. But their usage hasn't changed in the last few years, at least since 2014 when we asked them to use less water, and they did. And to say that we'll keep an eye on this is an understatement. It'll be closely watched, and we'll adjust accordingly. There are a lot of things that may happen in the future we don't anticipate. We call those surprises, and we'll deal with them when they come up. I'm very confident that the time and effort that LRPC puts into this will—they'll answer the surprises before they appear.
Okay, so.
So.
Should I finish? Should I go on to the next page?
Do you want to make any recommendations at this point?
So, if you go to the next page, we have the preliminary base rate structure example, and this is very similar to what Tom presented last month. This is a little different because we have more cabins with meters. That's the only change, but I don't know if it's something you want to say about the structure.
The LRPC's proposal on the rate change and increase is posted on this multicolored document. It's over it's the column to the right side. And it is not the same increase for every category, which it always has been in the past, with some exceptions that we mitigate during the calendar year. So the recommendation for the rate increase would be as it appears in the 4 or 5 categories that sit before you. And to that, we need a motion to approve.
So basically, we're looking at if I read this correctly, $12 rate increase for cabins, $12 rate increase for cabins with a meter, no increase for a membership lot, $9 for bare lot, $12 for commercial. Mm-hmm. Am I reading that correctly?
That's
yes,
correct.
Based on a percentage increase.
I move that we accept this.
So, a second.
Okay, on the question, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed say nay. Thank you. That was outstanding.
It's all Tom's work.
Well, I'm sure it was.
No, you too, Chair.
98%.
Nothing is all anybody.
All right. And then the next page just shows the bi-monthly. So next, starting in January, we will start billing everybody every 2 months, and they'll get their... the preliminary. Oh, yo, is this not in yours?
No.
So, you'll have your home and lot fees and your USDA loan payments, and if there's a construction charge, if you have a meter. So, every 2 months, everybody will get a bill, except for the combined lots and the membership lots. They'll just get it one bill at the beginning of the year.
And the billing will actually show the two categories.
Yeah, actually.
We have a sample of it.
Lee has this nice, a finger cart sheet.
It's very, very, very similar to East Bay Muds, where it shows what you've used and what you used in the past. And
it won't show, if you're an improved lot, it won't list like cabin with meter, like those prices. It's just so what you owe. Or so she's going to get a sample bill.
But it will show $108 for the lot fee and $39 for
exactly.
the
lot. Exactly.
So it'll be broken down.
It's broken down that way because we have to. So this is what a typical bill will look like if you have a meter. A bare lot just won't have the usage charge on there.
This might not be the right time to ask you, but. So for the USDA loan payment, if we get if we ask for forgiveness on the loan, what do we do with that money that we charge them?
It goes away.
If we ask forgiveness on the loan, and I understand that is a possibility.
Right.
I'm not
I think we should. But.
Yeah, and I'm not sure of the logistics of asking. I don't know how far you have to be in and or how far after the project is completed before one can ask, but I know they do forgiveness. We'll take that.
That'll be a different subject, but I just...
No, no, listen, they forgive our loan. We'll keep some of the money and just celebrate the hell out of it.
Yeah,
we could put it in reserves or credit people for next year or whatever. So, but we have to make a loan.
So that would be part of the plan for the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they forgive the loan...
But it's a regulatory procedure.
That would go away.
Yeah. The $39 would go away if they forgive the loan.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
What is remarkable here is that as long-range planning has been able to develop a rate, a consumer rate, that includes the loan payment.
Exactly.
I mean, that. I want to hit on that this afternoon for the few that can listen. I mean, that to me was a feat. A $12.5 million project, and it's going to cost you $12 a year is a pretty good deal.
For all of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget the Fly-In Lake project, which was, what, $27,000? You know, add on to each property?
Yeah.
$27,000.
It was 17, the lowest was 17 to some, and as high as $27, $28.
Yeah. And that was the system go.
Yeah.
I live right next to it, so I'm working.
Okay.
So you want to emphasize that this is for 2 months? So.
Yes, 2 months. So, so they read the, if everybody, for those who don't have a meter, if you, they will read the meters at the end of February, April, June, August, and October. And then the bills go out the next couple of days. And we actually have a new payment, a billing company. They actually will email you your bill or email you something that says you can go look at your bill. I set up my account the other day, and it was very easy to set it up with, but I still haven't received my paper bill.
You haven't?
I don't know. I might have gotten there last night, but I wasn't home.
It says too long.
So so I think we're encouraging people to give us their email addresses, but once they set up that account, they can choose paperless, and then they'll get an email notification that their bill's due. But, you know, the bills, the payment will be due the 15th or 20th in March, you know, May.
Is AutoPay available?
It is. You can buy credit card. You have to put in your credit card information online.
Yes.
We are no longer accepting credit card over in within the company, but you can write a check to the company, or you could use a telephone system to pay with a credit card, or you can AutoPay with a credit card online. So.
Most banks allow PayPal. They don't charge for it. If you go on the website, there's a entry through the website to start the process.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
Dan's website.
It's Dan's website. I'm impressed by that tool that they put in there. It's a good tool. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I signed up.
It's very,
it took me 3 or 4 minutes.
I didn't put a credit card in yet, but I because I have to find a credit card my husband doesn't know about. He wanted to be able to track. He does all the bill paying. So I set up the account, and I was like, you figure out when you want to pay. So
part of your presentation this afternoon will be on the race control. Okay.
Right.
Anything else on that?
Nope.
Bob, before we leave this item, I did realize we have a resolution that actually adopts these rates. So
yes,
we're sort of doing something we already did, but if we could also approve the resolution at this point, which mirrors, it has a rate sheet that mirrors the slide that...
The resolution is goes in after the fact, correct? Resolution is that we did the work. You wrote it out.
Correct. So if we could have a motion and a second to approve the resolution.
Does everyone have a copy of that resolution?
It was in a separate email.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And the motion necessary is to accept the resolution.
Lee, do you have a number for the resolution?
It's today's date, 19-11-09.
Resolution is approving the reading.
I have it right here.
Okay.
You'd like me to read it?
All of it, all three pages.
So whereas Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company, blah, 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 whereas there is a need to amend the water service rates for Blue Lake's Springs Mutual Water Company, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Blue Lake Long Range Planning Committee, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Blue Lake Board of Directors have carefully reviewed the proposed amended water services rates, find that they, one, are reasonable and fair, blah, 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 generates sufficient revenue to provide, blah, 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 generates sufficient revenue to cover installment payments for the USDA loan, blah, 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 allow the water company to fund and maintain the debt service reserve and short-lived asset reserve funds required by the USDA loan, blah, 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 allow the water company to maintain a financial reserve, blah, 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 generate at least 85% of the water company's annual revenue from rates, blah, 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 are adopted after reasonable inquiry into reasonableness and basis for the rates, and will not provide water service for free to any person, blah, blah, blah. So now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company that all prior versions of the Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water Company water service rates are rescinded as of the effective date and the proposed amended water service rates attached to this resolution are adopted, which are the same document that we just looked at. And on a motion by Director Blank and seconded by Director Blank, blah, blah, blah.
Motion to accept.
So moved.
Second?
A second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Okay, and Andrew, the general manager, will sign that.
Yes.
Okay. Item next to the, I skipped over you, the meter installation project, Dave, 2A. We cover that?
I think that's what,
yeah,
I think
we did.
Okay, so we're all yeah, together on that one. No questions about where we are in the meter program? Sir, do you have a question?
I just ask one question on that resolution. How does that affect the eastern section of Marin that hasn't been completed and doesn't have meters?
There's a fixed rate for unmetered cabins.
Oh,
yeah, sorry. It's still there.
And that's going to stay in place until the last meter goes in.
So does this affect the meter on the west side immediately?
It doesn't make a distinction by neighborhood, first of all. If you have a meter in the ground and it's active, then you're charged accordingly. There's a base rate you're going to pay and a what we call a consumption or use rate. If you don't have a meter, you're still paying about the same base rate.
Oh, okay.
And all the meters will be in the ground here shortly, and probably by September of next year, maybe July, they'll all be functional. Because the homeowner has a 6-month grace period to hook up from the meter to the house.
Right.
So, Russ, your rate, you'll be a cabin with a meter, obviously, will be $811. Total for the year, and that includes any USDA loan payment. So it's up $12 from last year.
But for the first, if you don't have a meter.
Well, he does.
You do?
Yeah, he's okay. One of my neighbors.
Oh, so but the people on Moran who haven't gotten their meter.
In that case.
For a few of the payments, they'll pay a higher rate. And then, as soon as their meter is activated, they'll pay the lower rate. So it'll switch on them. So.
Okay, thank you. Answer got it covered. Good. That's a good question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to remember to stress every time we had an opportunity, especially with the group this afternoon, that the whole billing process is changing. The only thing that stays the same is you're going to pay about the same per year. But you mean paying it in installments. I mean, we've been on that bandwagon for a year or longer, but sometimes the learning curve takes a while. Item unfinished business, item 3A. Dave.
Okay, generator. I did buy a generator.
Yay!
I put the picture in. There's a picture of it.
Did you use it?
We haven't used it yet.
That's just a
but
electricians are backed up for 6 months, so it's
shit, they're all in paradise.
Yeah, I put the info in there for what it is. And, how many hours it is. It's a little, has more hours on it than the original one I was looking at that they didn't want to sell to us.
But it's about a third of the cost, isn't it? Wasn't the other one about 80?
No, it was 25.
No, the other one was 35. This one was less, but I because it had more hours on it, I decided to get a one-year warranty for it. It's pretty expensive, but I feel it's necessary. Yeah, we're going to, of course, have it, put it through all its paces and test it. Testing it involves quite a bit of stuff because we have a generator at the treatment plant. We have this generator will go out to the well, our one well that's the most productive well, and that will be plugged in. Also, we have all of our SCADA system has to work. We have a SCADA tank 4 that kind of everything bounces off of that.
Everybody know what SCADA is?
Oh, okay. It's our electronic controls.
It's a monitoring system, and every place that you would think we ought to have some sort of monitoring device, we do.
And so what happens is that when the treatment plant decides to run, it sends a signal, a radio signal, up to tank 4. It bounces off of tank 4, goes down to White Pines, and tells the wells to start, and tells the treatment plant to start. So all these things have to work. All these controls, and they have little actuators and things that have to all work. So,
and they power, have main power to operate.
Main power. So tank 4 up there has electric power to it from the pole, but it also has solar backup, so that if power went out, that would still function as the little point, bounce off point. So anyway, we would need to have both generators running, the treatment plant and the new one out there at the well, both functioning, the SCADA system operating, the solar system working, all that has to work together, and so we have to run that test. And then I want an electrician there. We're going to put a more secure plug-in out there at the well so that we can drive the generator out. It'll be locked. The generator will be locked. The wires will come under. It'll go to a plug that's locked and protected. And we have to add those. They didn't come with it. And also, I'd like to use it if someday we may use it for our new pump station. We're going to do the same there, have a plug there, so that we can run that pump station if we need to off of that generator. And that will take, the pump station will take water from tank 4 and could pump it up to 6. Tank 4 gets water from CCWD automatically. It automatically goes in and fills itself. It's got a little altitude valve on it. Right? So that is not so critical as tank 6, which is our highest tank. That tank can feed all of Blue Lake Springs with gravity. So if we keep that full, we can keep...
That's the one on Pebble Beach.
That's the one up there. Yeah, it's on El Ranchero. But so that's the idea anyway. Didn't feel we needed a brand new generator for this, because this probably won't be a very common thing that we have to do. But
about fuel storage?
That's a good question. We have a tank at the treatment plant. It's a 1,000-gallon tank. We're going to have to get a tank on the truck, a truck tank to refill the generator out there, or we can have it refilled by a supplier. Now, Evans Pass Gas has just informed us that they're not going to be, for reasons they have, state regulations, they're not going to be able to provide diesel or gasoline to people. They used to truck that stuff around, so we could. I was planning on having them do it, supply us with diesel. But so I'm looking into where CCWD gets their supply. They had, during this last PSPS thing, they had 80 generators going. So they needed, they were using a lot of diesel, and they have a good supplier for that. So, and they do have a generator out there at their shop. So they need to have somebody come fill that. Maybe I can work it that way, and we can have a truck tank too, you know, that can go out from our tank at the plant, fill that truck tank up, take it out there, keep the thing going.
How long does it run with the tank that's on the generator?
I don't know exactly. Depends on the load. It depends on the load, but we'd have to see about that. It's a pretty, you know, it'd probably go 7 hours at least. And a normal run,
that's
we only
you only run 7 hours.
Well, we only do that, but in an emergency, it might be a little different. A long PSPS event, I say over, you know, around 5 days to 7 days. Haven't seen that yet, but yeah. Maybe, you know, it might.
So we were in good shape all through this 80, I think we were out for 85 hours, something like that. We were doing okay.
We had.
With the equipment we have.
Yes, tank four fills automatically from CCWD.
Right.
They didn't have problems. I checked with Michael. Their general manager, and they did have 80 generators going, but they were all working, and their biggest problem was keeping them filled up. But they were all working, and they had plenty of water. And so that tank continued to fill up. That was okay. Tank 6, at the time, had about 500,000 gallons in it. And the usage that was coming out of here was about 50,000 a day out of that tank. So that was, we had tons of water up there. But that's not to say that if there was a bigger demand, as say fire happened, there was a fire close by, people, you know, when a fire comes, they...
Yeah, if they fired up a half a dozen hydrants, they would drain those tanks. And
tanks would go down fast, so...
That's going to be a risk no matter what.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, but you're going to evacuate, so you're not going to have...
Well, that's another thing.
Well, you're not going to have any people here, so...
Well, that's happened before in the old Gulch fire. That was quite a few years ago. But everyone evacuated, but some of the people decided they wanted to run their sprinklers. You know, put them on the roof, they put them in the yard, they were running water, a lot of water, because they tried to try to save their houses. So we had to go around and shut them off. Because, you know, we couldn't lose that water that we needed. So, anyway.
So pretty much you're going to put together a date that you're going to test the generator.
Yes.
And then you're going to put a maintenance program.
Yes.
And you're going to test it periodically. And figure out where you're going to store the fuel.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so that's...
They're also going to be phased.
Right.
You know, that sounds more complicated than it is, but the last thing we want is to fire up two generators and they kill each other.
I agree.
Which can happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Or PG&E power comes back on and fries.
That's another thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have the best of the best electricians working with us on this deal.
But they should... Well, hopefully they'll be able to figure out a way for the systems to talk to each other. So.
Absolutely.
That's where the SCADA comes in.
Yes.
And we also have the capability that I built into it, because I don't like relying on electronics for, you know, in the case of a severe emergency where suppose the SCADA system just fried, we can do it manually. If we had to run manually, we can do it. Which means that, you know, guys flipping switches.
Balancing stuff.
We can do it.
So, Dave, if I understand the numbers that, you know, you've got on these documents, you're looking at $34,000 cost for the generator itself. And then there's going to be several thousand dollars worth of electrician charges?
Probably not a lot, but there will be some to buy the plug-ins and have him come out.
And your transfer switches?
We have the transfer switches in already.
Okay.
Those are there. We just put a brand new one at the plant.
And then, you know, there'd be costs for...
There'll be added costs.
The fuel storage.
Get a fuel tank, maybe.
So, you know, round numbers, you're looking at about $50,000 to get this done.
Yes.
You have a tank already, it's 1,000 gallons, right?
Right, but we have to get it from there to...
Yeah, you got to figure out how to get it from the... Yeah.
So I thought a truck tank would probably work, do that job. Also, and I didn't mention this, but we have a connection at Linda Drive, which we don't use, to CCWD. So they have, in our agreement, which I'll be talking about in a minute, we have, they will supply us with water to, for fire protection. So if, suppose, something happened that we couldn't operate with the generator, we can turn them on and take care of our tank. So that's double protection there. I mean, we can't be protected against everything. If there's a huge windstorm and fire coming through, I don't think we're going to be able to do much about that. But
so that connection with the drive, can it fill tank six?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you have two ways to fill tank.
Two ways. Both our tanks can be filled.
Okay.
So we have that. That's about as much as I can do.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
we have a good agreement with them, and they're perfectly willing. I just checked with Michael on it. They will give us the water if they can do it.
They'll probably sell us the water.
Well, yeah. So okay. yeah, you're right.
They'll provide it to us.
They'll give it to us and sell it to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll need a motion to approve $50,000 for the generator.
They approved 35 at the last meeting.
I'll second it.
Who first did that?
Okay.
I beg your pardon.
The what?
Dan.
Thank you. And Sharon,
sorry.
Second.
Is there any question with that? Motion is approved $50,000 for the cost of new generator and installation and necessary equipment with it. Move
aye.
To second. And all those in favor say by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed say nay. Thank you. Item 3B, the budget.
Yeah.
Mr. Hicks.
I'm sorry.
3B budget. Well, you've all seen the budget. So, unless there's any questions on it, we need to approve it.
Well, it'll be approved less the discussion we have in closed session. We haven't approved any salary or benefit changes.
But the budget covers that.
Yeah,
already.
There's sufficient funding in that. Maybe we could get another internet, pardon me.
Huh?
Or the internet just crapped out.
Yours did?
You know, it kind of...
Well, my little Apple, it did.
You know, it kind of goes in and out. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Once you have the document open, it shouldn't bother you.
Right.
Well, it shouldn't.
It's an Apple.
Are there any questions on the budget? Hearing done, I'll take a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second? Second to approve the budget?
Yeah, Jeff.
Sure. Okay, thank you. On the question, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed say nay. And in that passing, you realize that no adjustments have been made to the employee salaries or benefits.
Well, to that point, so the numbers that are in here are?
More than.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Gives us plenty of latitude. Approval of the sample station.
Okay. There's the information in the packet on the sample stations. These were, there's seven sample stations we need to install. They were not included in the original plans. Should have been, but they weren't. And so it's listed on our additional projects list as A6, USDA has, I don't, you guys don't have an additional projects list, huh? But...
But the USDA has agreed to fund.
USDA has agreed to fund, or to reimburse us for our cost on this.
Everyone knows what sample stations are?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what we do now to take water samples, which we have to do every month. What we do now, other than the wells, is to go to a person's house, go to the side of the house, turn on a hose bib, take a sample out, and go and use it. There's some problems with that. There always has been problems with it. And these, as you can see in there, these are actual little covered stations with piping. I know there's quite a bit of detail in there, but
yeah, I like it. You got engineering drawings,
you know. But there,
something I can understand.
The guys can go to the location, which will be not at the house. It'll be by the service box. Even in the winter, they can take the sample in a much cleaner and safer way. They're not going on people's property, walking around their house.
Well, it's a consistent place, too, every time.
Yeah.
It's a glorified hose bib.
It's a glorified hose bib.
Exactly.
So these won't freeze during the wintertime?
They won't freeze.
Okay.
They have a drain in them, so
they drain out.
They drain out.
Okay.
Anyway, almost every water company around uses them, and we just haven't upgraded to that. So these are something we have to have.
So the question I have is, are they in the financials?
Yes.
That you had reviewed earlier?
They're probably, they are, go back to the third page of the handout. It was A6, which was part of future 2019 news scope there's $216,000. And that's a portion of it.
Yes.
I think C1 is the valves, but they're not here. I don't know. For unit 13?
Oh, those, they're not.
So yeah, anyway, it's included in the $216,000. And I think the deal, according to the change order, is the water company would actually buy the sampling stations and Mazzino was installing them.
Yeah, the reason we bought them ourselves is because we found them cheaper, same station, but going through a different supplier, it's exactly the same station, but we got them at a cheaper price, $988 a piece, plus tax.
So
instead of more, it was more. I don't remember the other amount, but that's why we're buying them ourselves.
And then the change order itself for Mazzingo is for the labor to install them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To cut in and install the
stations.
And then they're going to add 5 days to the contract. I'm just summarizing. I hope you don't mind.
No.
So the labor is $16,000?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then,
how long does it take to install? 3 hours?
Well, they're going to go to a service they're going to a service box. Then they're going to have to shut the water off. They're going to have to tie into that. And you see the drawing here. They're going to hook that in. So they may need a backhoe. I don't know. You know, that's their estimate. And we thought it was okay.
Even though it was not part of the original project, USDA is still...
willing to pay for it.
They're still going to, they're willing to pay for it.
Pay for it with our money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like 5.7 hours per sampling station. Some might take more time. I think some of them were higher. I think there's an issue. So.
Need approval for the expenditure.
I move that we approve the expenditure.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Thank you. Meeting with the CCWD.
I have OES on there, and
the OES.
I had an appointment to meet with him but it was on the Monday of the PSTS, and he was unavailable that day. So, but a quick thing on him, it's just that what I want to do is get him, meet with him, show him around, make sure he knows where we are, what we are, that we are a player in this thing. In the case of emergency, we have good storage.
So what is OES?
It's the Office of Emergency Services.
It's out of the state?
Yeah, county.
It's a county one.
Okay. Every county, the state has an OES, but every county has one as well. Mm-hmm. They go to meetings. Really,
I wanted him to come to the town hall, and it's the one day that I can't go or something, right. He said. So anyway, I'm working on him. Get him over here, show him what we got. Have us involved in the overall scope of the county, or the Evans Pass area at least, in case of emergency. They know about us. We can help them. We can help the community. And we may need help ourselves. I just wanted us to be part of that and not left out. Sometimes if power is being restored after a fire, after a wind event, or after a storm, I want to make sure that we're on the priority list to get that power back on. Because sometimes we've had to sweat it, you know, because the well out there is tied to the Dorrington line. So sometimes the power, they want to get the power back on in town, they can get that back on quick. But they kind of forget sometimes about that line, and that's where trees fall and limbs fall on it. And they kind of sometimes, I want to make sure they get us, make us a priority. So that's why I want to talk to him. I just haven't done it yet. So I'll move on to the CCWD meeting. Every year we have to meet. We have an agreement to meet and discuss our water purchase agreement that was made with CCWD. So it happened, it just so happened it was during the PSPS event. So we met at the bistro, and Michael Minkler, Hayes, the general manager of CCWD, was there, and Bertha Underhill, she was at our last meeting. She's a director in our area for CCWD. And Paul Penny was there, and I. And we go over the agreement, see how it's working, see if there's any problems. And, you know, the consensus there was that it is working well. We're purchasing water from them, and that's working really good. There doesn't seem to be any problems with that. I did want to talk about, I wanted to check with Michael again on, okay, you know, so you got 80 generators going and everything, and how does it look for us? I mean, if we needed water for some reason, do you see a problem with that? No, we didn't. So the agreement is structured that they are supposed to supply us if we need it for fire protection. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just wanted to clarify that with him and make sure that's good.
How does that new pipeline project affect us, or does it?
It affects us in the way that the one they did last year, the one that they did in town. Any improvement in their system is going to help us. They had, to their account, 30% leakage out of that pipe.
Wow.
That they're replacing now on the highway. So that means that their treatment plant is producing 30% of water that goes in the ground.
To feed the trees.
Yeah.
They did. They had a lot of nice trees along that pipe. I know that.
And all those chemicals aren't good for the trees, you know.
Yeah,
they're not complaining. So,
what does a tree do?
Yeah.
So that actually increases their capacity.
No, it's just it's good that they're fixing it, so I think it'll be very helpful.
Yeah.
So their capacity increases. The less leaks they have, that helps us. That means that they'll have water available for us if we need it.
So what does the hard water purchase agreement look like? Do we just pay a flat fee per 100 cubic feet, or do we have a minimum?
We have a minimum of 45,000 gallons a day that we have to buy. If we go under that,
we still pay for 40.
This is out of. Oh, I can show you. Maybe I can show you here. On this map, tank 4 is here. All of this area here is supplied a little bit over here. About half of our system is supplied by this tank. It's separated because of that. We have surface water, we have well water. But right now it's separated the two areas. So we have to buy 45,000 gallons a day out of this during a certain month of the year, which is, I think it's from March to October. If we go under that, which we never have done, we have to pay that up to that amount, but we've never gone under it.
Right.
In a drought situation, they've lowered it to 40,000 a day because people are concerned more. They're not making us pay that half. We have the capability in October 1st, we can shut off our wells. We can turn on the Linda connection and get all of our water from them if we decide to do that and let our wells recover if we had some problem with that. We have never taken advantage of that. And we like to keep it that way. We want to keep a conjunctive use. Part of the agreement calls for, you know, we want to keep a conjunctive use system.
Right.
So that's kind of how it goes. And we've just run, you know, in the summer, of course, we use a lot more than 45,000 gallons a day. But we could get more if we want.
And is it one set fee of
It's a tiered rate.
It's a tiered rate, okay.
Yeah. So
you use a lot more, you pay more.
So yeah. If we probably, I think it was less than $70,000 a year to buy water from last year. This year it's going to be higher because we're using more water.
And we get about a third of our water from that?
So no, it's about half. If you look at the chart there, it's pretty close. Not real exactly half, but it's about half.
And Dave, if I recall correctly, the rate isn't set in the agreement. We're subject to their wholesale rates. Is that right?
Yeah. They treat us as they treat a regular customer.
Right.
It's their tiered rate system. Right. And they charge us a fee for the meter. You know, we have a 4-inch meter up there at the tank. So they charge a fee for that. And they also charge us a fee for our Linda connection meter, which is a 6-inch. It's for maintenance, they call it, even though they never hardly ever look at it. But it's only for a household meter charge. They're charging us for that. If we were to activate that 6-inch meter and use it,
yes,
start using it a lot, then they're going to give us a 6-inch meter charge.
Yes.
But
that's in the agreement.
That's in the agreement. So that's kind of how that works. I can give you a copy if I haven't done it already.
I was going to say, why don't we get a copy of it?
So you guys can read it and know exactly what we're doing with that.
We can just email it to everyone.
And
I can do it.
Our cost of the water is less than $160 we're going to be charging people for 100 cubic.
I don't know. I haven't analyzed that or looked at that too close, but it's a reasonable rate.
It really is. It balanced against what we charge $160 per extra 100 cubic feet per month. How much are we paying for that 100 cubic feet from CCWD?
It's tiered. You'd have to go in and look at it.
That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. They have a breakdown. They give us a breakdown every month.
We're charging less than what we're paying.
Yes, they give us a breakdown every month of the tier. They show the rates, the tiered rates. They show how much we used. So I could give that to you guys.
Along with the original contract.
Yes.
There's some other matters in the contract. We have to maintain our wells.
Isn't it on the website?
Yeah, so there's some other things that were
It could be on the website.
Yes, it is.
It's on the website.
So, anyway, the meeting went well. There is a thing, and I didn't talk to Andrew about it yet, I don't think. I mean, we may have discussed it, but I talked to Michael about, in the agreement, there's a part that says we can purchase additional capacity. I talked to Andy about it a little bit. So now we only have enough capacity paid for. We had to come up with $825,000, I think, to be able to do this. And it relates to every customer's capacity charges that are owed to CCWD if they're going to get water from them. And there's a way in there that we can add capacity, pay money, and add capacity for the in the event that in the future that our something happens to our well and we can't operate the well anymore. We can purchase all of our water from CCWD, and that amount right now is a little around $2 million. And that we know that their capacity charger, their hookup fee, is $7,130. Around $7,000, but we know that's going to go up. So in time, as the years go by, I think our wells are going to last a long time. And we have the ability to shut them down even longer in the agreement already. But if something did happen to them, then we would be buying over time additional capacity. And that's in the agreement. It's not real clear how that would be done, how it'd be structured. So I talked to Michael about maybe an amendment on that agreement that would define that. Like if we, in our reserve account, we put, $25,000 a year or something, we could either hold it in a separate account of ours or we could give it to them. They would put it in an account for us. It's just Bob doesn't like that.
No.
But anyway, we have options. And so I just wanted to clarify that. I think it might be something to think about. The board should think about in the future to be able to slowly buy capacity up over time.
So that $2 million charge is a one-time fee?
Yes.
Yes, it would be a one-time fee.
Think of connection capacity fees that water companies charge to bring water onto your property. If you're building a new house, you pay that. If you buy a house, it's already been paid by the prior owner. And in this particular case, they will charge us a capacity fee based on the number of dwellings affected.
Right.
Somebody, either here or during the last election for board, asked me, why don't we just buy all of our water? Well, we can do that, but we'd owe them $2 or $3 million. I think it's $2.3 million actually, mm-hmm. in capacity fees. That goes up front, plus the cost of the water. Cost of water, as we all know, is the cheapest part of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there doesn't appear to be any kind of a need. Were we to have massive well ruptures or something that we cannot or did not or couldn't have anticipated, and CCWD has the capacity to provide us with water for everyone, and they've agreed to do that. They'll do it on a public health or an emergency basis. For firefighting stuff, absolutely, no question there. And our mechanical structure is set up to accept extra water from CCWD. And then why don't we do it? Well, because we can supply water off our wells to half our complex, and we're doing that. We can supply the entire complex off our wells if need be. And the issue of the capacity fee is hanging over us. And how much of that do we want to pay for extra CCWD water? And that's all in the contract. I'll make sure if you cannot bring up the contract online, but let staff know, and then we'll get a hard copy to you.
So here's an interesting question that it kind of falls in this area, but do we have any concern as a board, you know, how we interface with CCWD and the fact that Michael Minkler was our attorney here? You know, is there, you know, anything that we ought to be thinking about as far as Chinese Wall or, you know, conflict of interest?
We have considered that, yes. Dave and I have talked about it. We talked about it as soon as we heard about Michael getting the job, and reached out to Andrew and kind of checked all that. And, you know, is Michael too close to our kitchen type of thing? Michael's predecessor is the one that got us back in the customer base of CCWD. When he was newly appointed, Dave, this is Dave Egerton, newly appointed five or six years ago, he showed up one of our morning meetings and wanted to know why we weren't a customer. And when we told him what happened, he couldn't believe it, and we were a customer shortly thereafter. And the contract is still in place. I know, Andrew, didn't you work on part of the contract?
I did.
Michael reached out, and Michael, once the contract was put together, reached out to Andrew because of Andrew's expertise in the water and contracts. And the product is what we currently enjoy, and that's a terminal he is. And I'd be really concerned if Michael Minkler left and somebody came in and treated us like one of their prior managers, where they just show up at our meeting and says, we're not going to give you water anymore because it's illegal. That's a quote.
CCW, are they non-profit too, or are they for-profit?
They're a governmental agency.
County Water District.
They're they have their own electorate. It's created by the Board of Supervisors, and they have elected people by district throughout the county. So they have to follow all the 218 rules and that sort of thing. And the Brown Act.
I don't think there's a conflict of interest if it's a government agency. Plus, I don't know if non-compete rules work with the nonprofits.
It gets a little complicated because he's not acting as an attorney for CCWD. The question is, does he have some confidential information of ours that could benefit CCWD in conflict?
But it would have to be an unfair way, though.
Yeah. It would have to be unfair. It would have
or
to be confidential.
Cause damage or something. But.
And because you're a corporation that's subject to the Open Meeting Act, it gets complicated whether you have some confidential information that could benefit CCWD materially in some negotiation of a contract amendment or operations of the contract. I don't know. Sitting here today, I don't know. It's sort of hypothetical. But, I mean, the issue could be real. It could be real if we were to look into issues in the future. In terms of just the ongoing contract, they're probably not. There probably isn't a conflict of interest because everybody's performing it and everybody's happy.
Anything else, Dave?
Oh, that was it. I just wanted the board to see that and consider it for a possible, you know, application in our reserves. We're still working on the reserve. The LRPC is, so what money to put where. But I just wanted to bring it up until, you know, that's kind of what we discussed at the meeting.
So no one's proposing any changes of any kind?
No.
Okay. And we're keeping up with our charge as far as well, keeping the wells active and so forth.
Yes.
Okay. Correspondence?
None.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Reportable items.
The former action items, we have two that are ongoing, the bylaw changes, which Andrew and staff will be working on, so we're happy with them all.
Okay.
The loan program is still in progress, and that'll stay on the reportable items. We have had no one yet apply for the loan program, so there's no reason to track the process for the loan
Got it.
Ongoing is the construction update, which Mark just gave us for this meeting, unless you want that to happen every meeting. Do you want Mazingo to update us every meeting on where they are construction-wise?
Well, our next meeting won't be until January, but...
Correct.
No, we'll let them know.
Then that one will go off also. Okay. And complete is the reestablished annual meeting with water, which is, with CCWD, which Dave just spoke to, and then information on the town hall. What I am going to add to the new reportable items would be Sharon and Andrew are going to get together, and they're going to look at the contract extension with MC Engineering. And a clause.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Bob, under the ambit of reportable items, and I'm looking at the time, I know we've got to get moving. Would it be okay if I do a minute and a half of attorney report? Because I have a couple items that didn't fall into
roll.
There's a new law, SB 998, regarding water shutoffs.
Oh, good.
It's inconsistent with our current bylaws, but it's inconsistent with everybody's current laws. It takes effect February 1, 2020. I'm going to work with staff to get our rules and regulations updated. This is a change that all of our clients are having to make, so it's not work that's going to be charged directly to the water company. We're rolling it out to everybody. So that's some good news that that didn't take extra work. Dave Edgerton says hello. I saw him a little while ago. He has the same fond memory of getting on board with CCWD Water for the water company, and he's doing well as Aqua Executive Director in the big times in Sacramento now. I'm working with Aqua on behalf of several clients on a proposal that is going to hopefully assist water companies if they face claims coming out of wildfires. The idea being that a lot of water companies are going to be affected by wildfires in the future. You may not be able to supply water for fire suppression. Someone at some point is going to look at water companies and say, you should have been better prepared, and therefore you have some liability. So we're working with Aqua on behalf of a group of clients to try and build in some protection, and you're probably going to be hearing about that next year. And then finally, just a firm update for my firm, BKS. My firm partner, Alan Lilly, who's one of our senior partners, is retiring, or actually is retired as of the 31st. He unexpectedly was appointed to the State Water Board's Office of Administrative Hearings, which is a long way of saying he's going to be the first water law judge in California, which is a big honor for him and a big loss for us. So we're scrambling a bit because he was a big part of the firm, but new changes, new opportunities, and that's a good thing for us.
Wow. Excellent. That's it. All right.
Cheaper rates?
Coming.
Sounds like your overhead just went down.
I know. Overhead went down. Sleep went down with it, too.
Pardon me while I do some calculations. Okay. Any other matters come before the board? I need a motion to adjourn to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Thank you.
If you opposed, would it change anything?
No.
Exactly.
Just leave your stuff there.
Me?
So I could wait.